Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us into a good worship mood of the Word of God. Appreciate that very much. I got a wonderful report from Terry on Thomas, just doing super. He's dressing himself, he's eating a little more, walking on his own, and just really doing well. And they're going to, that the issue of prayer is that, unless they found it out, Leslie, I don't know if they have today, but the issue of prayer today was that we pray that the donor of the stem cell that he's going to have the transplant will let it postpone it for 1 week from next Monday to the following Monday. And so hopefully that the donor will be able to do that. So let's be in prayer that the donor will be able to do that. It will not conflict with any of his plans and schedule. So that's our main prayer. And then we want to continue to pray, or continue praying that he will continue to get better and stronger and healthier. And so we haven't had the alcohol yet, please. I'm walking down the aisle here yet. And just be better to get healthier and stronger on his own, so that when they do the stem cell and the chemo and all that's involved in that, that his body will be much stronger, much healthier, and able to endure it. So let's continue to be in prayer in that respect. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir. Yes. Those of you that may not have heard that on the internet, be in prayer for Cindy Edwards and her family. This is our member in Wichita Falls, Texas, and she's maybe more faithful than some of the people right here. She's just right there with us on every study. So please be in prayer for Cindy Edwards and her family. They need our prayers. Continue to be in prayer for our young people as we get closer and closer to the camp time and all that's going to be involved in the camp. So please be in prayer in that respect. Let's be in prayer for our member down in Houston, faithful member Gerald Weber, needs our prayers in regard to a lot of things going on in his family and his body. He's had a major shoulder redoing. And he still has to be very careful with it for at least another several weeks, and then he's got another 2 or 3 months to before he can really start doing anything. So, Jerry Weber and his family, and his wife, family needs our prayers. Let's see. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Pneumonia. Yeah. Okay.
And then Terry wanted to put Joseph on the prayer list and his family. He's 11 years old and back in the cancer ward because the cancer's come back for the third time. And they can't go to transplant. And without the transplant, they have no oxygen.
His name?
Joseph.
Joseph. Need to be in prayer for Joseph. And let's be in prayer for Joseph and Joseph's family. Only imagine what they're going through. So let's be in prayer for the young man and his parents and family. And they're just, every time I go to the hospital there, walk on the floor, Thomas is on the sixth floor, just look in the rooms, and there's just a story in every room. There's just every room. Lives are tremendously affected because this is the children's ward. And I know in ICU, it just broke my heart. There'd be just little infants in some of those beds in the ICU. And man, I would just stand there and look until somebody in the room looked at me looking. And I just need to be in prayer. And that's what we're studying, is tribulation. So let's get to it. And let's be in prayer for each other. Each other is in need of prayer. And we need to continue to be in prayer for each other. And we may not always tell each other what all of the burdens and tribulations and obstacles and things going on in our lives, but we know that just by being in the spiritual warfare, there's tribulations. So we need to be in prayer for one another and just be there to edify, to encourage, to strengthen. You know, it's very interesting, and we'll see this as we go through our study. Sometimes we want to be careful what we say and how we say it. I tend to be very jovial and very exuberant, and sometimes, especially several weeks ago, Terry may call, and I can't just, "Hey, Terry, how you doing? What's going on? How to?" Can't do that, Terry, Irvin, and so we need to be very careful. Just sometimes what we say and how we say it to one another, and you never know what's you're saying and how it affects that person. The smallest thing can edify. The smallest thing can just pierce them. So we need to be very careful. Well, let's begin tonight with a word of prayer. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And we have moved to verse 33. The final words of Jesus Christ to his disciples before his prayer and before the movement toward the cross, the crucifixion. So these are very important words that he's given to them and to us. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we can't be surprised by tribulation. Shouldn't be. Our Savior has told us, in the world, you will have tribulation. Not you may, but you will. No tribulation we like. Some tribulations may hit us strictly out of left field. We're assuming you know what that means, Father. Just areas we never thought it would hit. Like Thomas to Rick and Terry. So, Father, we pray now as we study this very important study that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 33. These things, these doctrines that I have been teaching you, I have spoken to you, I have taught you, that in me you may have peace. You may. Subjunctive mood. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. In the world, you have tribulation. You will have it. You will have it. Now, you may have peace in the midst of it, but you will have tribulation. And as you know, our study in Romans 5, boom, there's the word again, same word. And I'm kind of torn here. I want it on our study of John for the internet people that maybe just listen to John. And I also want it in the study of Romans. And what I'm trying to do is maybe pick out some things that are more directly related with the Gospel of John and the story of the change in the dispensations, the change from the age of Israel to the church age, what's going on. But I do hope you'll just go through and maybe pick up different things each time. So let's take a look now. The word, we know the word, thalipsis, and it means to crush. It's a descriptive word. It means to crush, to press, to squeeze, to break, affliction, trouble. Just any one of those type of words fit here. And last week, all we got was this point one, not even a point one, just a major point of introduction that I do want to go over, and then we'll start in on our study. And that is, don't try to figure out where the tribulation is coming from or the cause of the tribulation in your life or in someone else's life. Rick and Terry would hurt themselves and belabor their soul, laden just the heaviness of their soul, if they say, "Why, God, is this happening?" Now, I want to say very quickly, that's okay to pray that. Habakkuk prayed that. Why and how long? Why and how long? But don't just sit and contemplate and try to figure these things out. Because it doesn't matter the source. The solution is going to be the same regardless of the source. And I like to use the illustration. You go into a doctor's office with a gunshot wound. Go into first aid with a gunshot wound. Doesn't matter whether it's friendly fire, enemy fire, or self-induced stupidity. It doesn't matter. He's still going to handle it the same way. And that's the way with the tribulations. Doesn't matter if they're from God. Doesn't matter if they're from Satan. Doesn't matter if they're from the world. There doesn't matter if it's in the world. See, note that in John 16, he says, in the world you have tribulation. Not from the world, but in the world. And I think that's very distinctive here. Not from the world, but in just being in the world, you're going to have tribulation. That's just all there is to it. You're not going to avoid it. So it doesn't matter the source of it. And so it doesn't matter if it's Satan, God, the world, just life itself. We're still going to handle it the same way. You're still going to walk by faith, trusting Him and following His Spirit. And that brings us to Roman numeral 1, the Old Testament background study of the Word, and subpoint 1. And by the way, when I say this, this isn't an end. I mean, my goodness, we'd be months and months and months if we studied tribulation in the Old Testament. This is merely a main thrust introduction from the Old Testament. And point one, subpoint one, the tribulation as a result of sin from Genesis chapters 3 and following. Tribulation as a result of sin, toil of man, anguish of childbirth. These are just things that happen to members of the fallen race. The earth is under curse, man is under sin, and there's going to be suffering. So point two, God often brings tribulation on man, nations, individuals, for their rebellion against Him, plagues against Israel. And we have four major ways of bringing tribulation on peoples listed in Ezekiel. The sword, that's war, famine, economic, wild beast, violence, and disease. And we study these in a little greater detail in our study of Revelation, where we looked at the 7 years of the final 7 years of the age of Israel. I'm trying to say 7 years, the final years of the age of Israel, rather than 7 years of tribulation. Because that's not, they're the last 7 years of the age of Israel. It's what they are. Now, that they are involved in tribulation and the great tribulation in the last, but they're related to Israel. So this is very important, and it will help in clarifying and keeping why the church isn't there, why the church isn't part of it. These are the 7 years, the last 7 years of the age of Israel. The church isn't part of the age of Israel. But if I just say 7 years of tribulation, well, the church may or may not could be there. So that's what's going on there. Then point three. So point three, tribulation brought by the adversary, Satan. Satan. And then four, tribulation brought by the world due to its hatred of God, its hatred of the Messiah, its hatred of these things. So this is a study of all of the Old Testament. Okay, Roman numeral 2, a New Testament, the New Testament and tribulations. Again, by no man. There's 3 points, because we're going to be developing this throughout our whole study. So let's just take 3 introductory points here. 1, the word is most often used, the lipsis, the word for translated tribulation, is used to describe the sufferings of the people of God. Believers in Jesus Christ, especially those who are witnessing for Christ, who are a witness of Him. Now, if you conceal the fact you're a Christian and all of this, it's a whole other story. But the word itself is used to describe believers who are witnessing for Christ and they suffer for Christ. Subpoint 2. The suffering of the tribulations by believers, and this is a major point, is part of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Is part of the suffering of Jesus Christ. This is one thing we're going to have to realize. Now, we're not doing this in John 16, but in Romans 5, we're told to exalt. And James tells us to count it joy. Well, how can you do that? Look in your Bibles at Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him. There's that word know again, which means you have to get into the word. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship. Where you have fellowship, you're joining the same thing. See? That's that fellowship together at our meal. We're both eating together. Well, fellowship of suffering, we're both suffering together. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So the first thing you want to know about sufferings, tribulations, is being identified with Jesus Christ and his sufferings for us on the cross. We develop a little later. So point three. Remember, no matter how difficult or how challenging your tribulations may be, it's going to be hard to take now, they do not compare with what will be experienced in the 7 years, the last 7 years of the age of Israel, known as the Great Tribulation. They do not even begin to compare. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 tells us this. So we may consider our tribulations. Boy, this is just unbearable. This is horrible. And all this, how can this be? It doesn't even begin to compare with what's going to happen during the last 7 years of the age of Israel. That brings us to Roman numeral 3. Tribulations due to decisions in life, not from God, not from Satan, and not from the world. Tribulation, suffering, adversities, all these things due to decisions in life. They're not from God. They're not from Satan. They're not from the world. And do it in an outline form. A. The letter A, because we're going to have subpoints under this. The letter A, sin. Now, having made it clear that we are not to try to figure out why the tribulations and where the tribulations come from, we're not to try to figure those things out, we need to make mention of the fact that a great deal of suffering in life can be a direct result of our own poor decisions. While it can be argued, by the way, that all tribulations are a result of sin, the original fall of Adam and Eve, and curse placed on the earth, there is suffering throughout life that we can pinpoint in more isolated ways, and this one is due to personal sins. Let's note some things. One, suffering from rejection of authority. Suffering in life simply from rejection of authority. And why do I mention this one first? Because this one generally starts in childhood. This one generally starts in childhood. And if not corrected, goes all the way through life. This is why some people never make it through school. It's not God. It's not their IQ. It's not because the teachers are too tough. It's not because the subject's too advanced for them. They just do not respect authority. And they reject authority. Why many people fired from their job, whether they admit it or not, cut off from a team because they just reject the authority. Just reject it. Now, I don't think it's... See, this is a parent's responsibility. This is why God gives us parents. And so one of the primary things a parent needs to teach a child is respect for authority. And so often what happens in our difficult society, a couple get a divorce, and so whichever one has custody of the child, that child is not really disciplined because the parent doesn't want, it's been through the, well, the child's been through enough. The child going through all of this has been through enough. I can't be tough on him. Well, you're hurting the child. You're hurting the child. You're not helping the child. And you just got to teach them respect of authority. I hope it's okay, but I have a little, I guess he was 2.5, but he had a three-year-old grandson who played soccer. And that's a hoot watching three-year-olds play soccer. I love the coach. He would instead of telling them, he'd go pick them up. You there? And you there? But my three-year-old grandson, he didn't want to play because he did not like that guy with the whistle. I don't like him. I do not like him. I do not like him. I don't like him. I don't like him. And he'd just walk off. And there would be another one. This one was a really good player for three-year-old. But every time somebody would come and take the ball from him, he'd cry. He'd just start crying. And it's so funny watching these little guys do all of this stuff. But you got to start at this age. You got to understand the respect of authority. If you don't, you're going to ruin these people for the whole rest of their lives. Many people get dishonorable discharge. No respect of authority. So rejection of authority is a way of suffering by unbelievers and believers. Point two. Go through these rather quickly. Suffering from violation of the law. Criminal activity. Self-explanatory. Three. Suffering from immorality. Great deal of immorality results in a lot of suffering. Can't blame God. Can't blame Satan. Can't blame the world. You can't blame the blonde. You can't blame him. It's immorality, and they're suffering with it. Four, they're suffering from divine discipline, from the love of God. And this and all of these can be turned into blessing by faith recovery. B, letter B, poor decisions in regard to health. Can't blame God, can't blame the world, can't blame Satan. Drinking, drugs, smoking sometime, overeating. Can't blame God. I think it's not right. I can't even blame Bluebell. We can't even blame Bluebell. Yeah. It's not their fault. God, I just feel like I gotta be able to blame somebody for this. But so just poor decisions in health. See? Poor decisions in regard to romance, love, marriage. I'm not talking about sin. I covered that under immorality. I'm just talking about the person you fall in love with will bring tribulation into your life. Sometimes you go ahead and marry this person. See? All these things just will bring tribulation in your life. Doesn't have to, but just sometimes... And we all, sometimes a woman just falls in love with that kind of a jerk. Sometimes that guy will always fall in love with that kind of a woman. Alright? There's no rhyme or reason for who we fall in love with. But it can be a source of great tribulation. Alright, Roman number 4. Tribulation in the world. In life. Just being part of the human race. 1, war. 2, weather disasters. That's the people in Joplin, Missouri. Man, over 117 was the last count I heard. People dead. And it just there they are. So just weather disasters, disease, earthquakes, tornadoes, heat, coldness, floods, tsunamis, volcanoes. Much of the world today suffers from the lack of good water. Just good water. there are various mission groups that go over to Africa, and I've walked on the way to teaching by some where they part of their ministry was to put a well so that they could get some water. And I think that's wonderful. I don't think that's bad. Now, I hope they were able to give the pure and true gospel along with that. But that's just an unbelievable blessing to have those kind of things. Three, national disaster, economic, depression, dictatorship, a police state, unfair judicial system. Four, circumstances of life. The only way I know how to categorize this one, orphans, widows, James chapter 1, 27. Just have all these kind of problems that just by being a member of the human race. This isn't part of our study, but I want you to understand, these are the things Christ is talking about. In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, not from the world, just being in the world. And that's what these are: war, weather, national, circumstances of life, death. So, these are the things that happen. All right, Roman numeral 5. From people. From people. You know, life would be so good if we didn't have to put up with people. It'd be really, really wonderful if we just didn't have to put up with people. Gossip. Ostracism. Disapproval. Persecution. Crime. Violence. And on and on and on. Part of life since man has a sin nature. First major sin was not sex. It was eating of the forbidden tree. The next major sin was not sex. It was one brother murdering another brother out of jealousy. All of this comes from a mental attitude, sins. Violence, murder, all these things. Just a mental attitude of sin. Racism. Great problem among peoples. Prejudice against the Jews, against Christians. Hatred. And people, believers, hurt each other too. Hatred, jealousy, arrogance, bitterness, prejudice, fear, competition. Believers hurt one another. So, people. Roman numeral 6. Very important one. You highlight this one. Suffering from failure of walking, living by faith. This is one of the primary sources of a believer's sufferings in life, is a failure to trust God and trust God the Holy Spirit. Failure to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Failure to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Failure just to trust Him. A multitude of believers suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression, sad, due to the failure of keeping their mind stayed on Him. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him. Remember what this tribulation is. This tribulation can be inward, outward. You have it. I give you peace. He's not talking about peace in the circumstances, is he? He's talking about peace in the mind. So the tribulation directly that he's talking about is tribulation in the mind. Suffering, crushing, pressing, stress, anxiety, depression of the mind. And he's given us the perfect solution. Walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Look at 16:32. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own, and to leave me alone, and I am not alone, because the Father is with me. All right, Roman numeral 7 begins another major part of our study. Roman numeral 7. Understanding tribulations. Understanding tribulations. I didn't try to find some fancy title for this. Let's just talk our way through this and understand it. Point one, John 16:33. understanding of tribulations from the world can be a source of inner peace during the tribulation. Understanding of tribulations from the world, in the world, can be a source of inner peace. Note what he says, these things I've spoken to you. I've told you, in the world you're going to have tribulation. In me, you can have inner peace. So the first thing we want to know about tribulations is that just understanding tribulations in the world, from the world, is in itself a source of inner peace and during the suffering. And I'm going to, and I hope with their permission, and I've asked for it, but I didn't tell them the degree that I'd be talking about them. But Rick and Terry sit down, and they just keep on trying to figure it all out. Okay, I'm told I'm going to have it. I don't need to figure it out. My Savior, my friend, my Lord, my King has told me I will suffer tribulation. He's already told me that. Okay, this hit me cold turkey, but if I sit down and I think it through, He's told me. I know it was coming. So now I can just rest in Him and find this peace. So we just start off with a knowing that tribulation is coming. Point two. Tribulation from the world, not in the world, but from the world. Be careful of your prepositions. Tribulation from the world or from Satan is always designed to break down one's faith. Got to understand that. Tribulation from the world, from Satan, is always designed to break down one's faith. Now, having said that, see that the key there is designed. But you know what? Tribulation just of the world. Not from the world, but just in the world, like we talked about. War, disease, all these things. They can break your faith down too. They may not be designed to, but they can break it down. Bad decisions. You just keep making bad decisions, and pretty soon you don't want to walk with the Lord anymore. So while it isn't from an outside source with a design to break your faith down, tribulations break down your faith. That's my major point here. Tribulations. Now, I've said when it was from the world of Satan designed, but the point I want you to see is this is the effect of tribulations to break down faith, to break down one walking by faith, trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Holy Spirit. And again, don't try to figure out the source. Do not try to figure out the why. Just trust Him because it's designed to do that. It's just tribulation. Let me go to something just in common in our society. Oh, many of you girls haven't maybe played football, but just by the time you get to the fourth quarter, it's been a good, tough game, you're just tired. I'm tired of getting hit. I'm tired. It's cold. My fingers feel like they're breaking right every time I move. And it just breaks down your will to win. What is that? That's what we're talking about, faith. It just breaks down my desire to continue to walk by faith and trusting in the Lord. My to continue to grow in the Word and go to church. To have fellowship with Jesus Christ. I'm broken down. It's just beating me. Doesn't matter whether it's intended that way or not. See, Satan intended it with Job. He intended it. And it worked. But it just may be in the world itself. So don't really try to figure it out. Just remember, this is an attack on my faith. This is an attack. This is between me and the Lord. This is a spiritual issue. Doesn't matter the source. It's a spiritual issue between me and the Lord. Point three. Almost like point two, but just let's see if we can note a little few differences. Tribulation is designed to crush the spirit of man. Crush your will to go on growing in the Word of God. going on and following Jesus Christ just crushes your spirit. Point four. Okay, what's going on? It is the ultimate goal of tribulation to eliminate the presence of the witness of Jesus Christ. It is the ultimate goal and design of tribulation to eliminate the presence of the witness of Jesus Christ. I don't care where it comes from. Health, not your fault. Relationships, not your fault. But it's just, they're designed by the design of them to break down and to eliminate the presence of the witness of Jesus Christ in the world. In the world. From the world, of the world, in the world. To break down that witness of Christ. Get rid of all who witness for Him. People, if Satan, if the world can shut Christians up, as far as the Bible, as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, that's all they care about. And we have seen this slowly taking place in our country in the last 60 years now. It has just been slowly working, and it's working. They've removed him, as for all practical purpose, from the judicial system, the educational system, the moral system. All these things in this country. Teachers are taken to court in Texas right now because they gave out some peppermint candy sticks in Plano. And peppermint candy stick has a story behind it. Somehow it's related to Christ. And now they're going before the Fifth Circuit Court. Be punished. Be punished if they're convicted of a crime of giving out the peppermint sticks in their classrooms. Got to cut this witnessing of Christ out. Got to eliminate the witnessing of Jesus Christ. Got to eliminate it. Darken any and all influence of Him in society. So every time a believer does not give in, does not faint from following Christ, walking in the Spirit, Satan loses. And the light of Jesus Christ continues to shine in your little corner, in your little part of the world, in that little room on the floor of the hospital on the sixth floor. People are coming to them now. People who work in the hospital coming to Rick and Terry. We're amazed at your fortitude and perseverance of your faith. People, that to me is just, that's, I feel like, I don't know if you remember in the scene in Patton where there was somebody said, give Patton 1 gallon of gas and he'll go 100 miles. Somebody would say something like that. That's got to be good for another week of not staggering in faith. And persevere in trusting Him. Because that's what they want to do. That's what the world and that's what all the tribulations are designed to do. To cut off our witness of Christ. I'm tired. I'm not going to walk this way anymore. I'm not going to go to Bible church. I'm not going to study the Bible. I'm not going to walk with Him. I'm not going to praise Him. I'm not going to pray to Him. I'm through. He's won. He's won. The world is won. It's just now darkened another area where yesterday the light might have shined. That's the objective of tribulations, people. And that's why Jesus Christ says, in me you have peace. And then the next thing is we're going to end with an imperative. I love this. We're going to end John 16 with an imperative. Take courage. What does that mean? Take courage. And how do I do it? But we'll get to there later. But right now I want you to sense what all this tribulation is about and what it's designed to do. in the study of Job, just kept hitting all the things that happened in chapter 1. His property, his family, his wealth, everything. And the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan kept hitting. And finally, what did Job say? I curse the day I was born. He wrote probably the first country and western music is Job chapter 3. Just perfect. I'm so despondent. I just cursed the day I was born. I wished I had never been born. And that's what the tribulation is designed to do. Now, you don't, doesn't have to, because God has given us some power in us greater than in the world. We'll come to that. Roman numeral 8. Biblical study of tribulation. You can put in parentheses in the New Testament. Point one. Tribulation, no matter its source, is not able to separate us from the love of God. It can, but it in itself isn't able. Tribulation is not able to separate us from the love of God. And when I said it can from our perspective, not His, but from our perspective. All right, if you look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 8, got to start looking at some of these things in the Bible. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And note the very first thing mentioned. Shall tribulation separate us from the love of God? That's our word. Our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword. And the answer is no. They shall not separate us from the love of God. Point two. The challenge for every believer, suffering tribulations, is to persevere. Please look with me at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's read together verses 10 through 13. Romans chapter 12, 10 through 13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, and it means in an honorable way. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Isn't this interesting? See? Devoted to one another, and when you do that, you're serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Rejoicing in hope. And what, see, this, it's, there's a line, people, it just amazes me the more I study this book, how things just wove through. What did we see in Romans chapter 5, verse 2? He exalts in the hope of the glory of God. Look what this says. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. I'm so thankful to have a prayer partner. I mean that. I have prayed alone almost all, well, all my adult life, practically, in, as far as home's private prayers. And just, this is so beautiful. Devoted to prayer. Now look at verse 13. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. But what I want you to see here is the persevering in tribulation. Persevering in tribulation. Now, with that in mind, okay, under our point now, what's our point? The challenge for the believer enduring going through tribulation is to persevere. Now look at Romans 5. Romans 5. We'll be taking a look at it Sunday morning, but look at Romans 5. And not only this, not only exalting in the hope of the glory of God, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Where is she going to learn perseverance? Where are you going to learn these things as you start growing up as a kid? I'm just picking on the guys for a moment, but and you're playing football. You're not going to learn until you're in that end of the game. You're not going to learn it sitting on a bench or in a stand. You learn it getting in there. You learn what that fourth quarter is about. You're learning how your knees start bending. You learn a lot of these things happening. You're getting hit and hurt, but you're learning to persevere, persevere. The more you get hit, the more you get hurt, the more all these things happen, the more you bleed, and on and on and on. This is the perseverance. Point three. If you do not have a solid foundation in Bible doctrine, in the teaching of the Word of God, and rooted in the love of God, you will not persevere very long. You will not persevere very long in tribulation. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Okay, let's read together. Matthew 13, 20 and 21. 20. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the world, immediately he falls away. It's a pretty powerful verse, people. Pretty frightening verse. So point three. If you do not have a solid foundation in doctrine, in the Word, rooted in the love of God, you will not persevere very long in tribulation. Matthew 13, 20 and 21. Yes. Because of the world. Because of the word. It rises because of the word. Because of the word. Yeah. When affliction and persecution arises because of the word. In other words, because of that witness that he thought he had for Christ. Immediately, he falls away. Because he doesn't have enough of the word to stand on it. See? If you make your witness because of the doctrine, the understanding in your soul, we got something coming. I'll just jump ahead for you since we're on this point. Take courage. Boy, I've had a lot of fun on studying courage like I've never studied it before, and courage, to make the point, we'll see it later, but courage and bravery. Courage is in the brain. Courage is in the mind. Bravery is of the body. You don't think your way through a lot of bravery. Just charge toward the hill. Charge toward the building with fire. All this. But courage. Courage is the word that deals with day in and day out. Do you have the courage that it takes to see it through? And you have to have that thought. So we're going to see how courage, and I'll show you all of this. Courage is related to the mind. What's going on in your mind? And if you don't have enough of that solid foundation of biblical truth in your soul, then the mind gives way. It can't hold on. And that's what this passage deals with. So let's be sure we're reading it correctly. 20 and 21. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. I always like to see it when people receive the word with joy, but anyway. Yet, he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. He doesn't have enough solid teaching in his soul. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. The tribulations beat him down. Okay, point four. We're promised tribulation from the hatred of the world from the beginning of the church age. We are promised tribulation from the hatred of the world from the beginning of the tribulation, beginning of the church age. We saw this in the Gospel of John 15 and 16. But now let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Eight and nine. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they shall deliver you to tribulation. So you got the pains, first of all. You think that's it? No. Now you're delivered to tribulation. And will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. People were promised tribulation from the hatred of the world. John 15 and 16 and Matthew chapter 24, 8 and 9. Jesus Christ emphasizes, prophesizes, makes prophecy of the hatred of the world, the suffering from the world. Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Verse 22. Beginning of the church age. Acts chapter 14 is beginning of the church age. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. People, this is what you want to do. Now, Rick and Terry are a prime example, but we all have people that are going through different kinds of tribulations. It may be from sin, it may be from the world, it may be from Satan, it may be from God. We don't care, we don't know, we don't know, we don't care. What's our job? Pray for them. What's our job? Encouraging them. Look what it says in verse 22. Encouraging them. And what are we encouraging them to do? To continue in the faith. People, it's a spiritual battle. And saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. People were told, it's going to happen. Now, once in a while, sometimes you may meet a believer who was born with a silver spoon, as we like to say, and they just never really stumped their toe in life. You kind of wonder about them. But those are the rare exceptions. And even America's been a rare exception in history. But here we have it. It's prophesied. Matthew 24:8-9, John 15:16, Acts 14:22, and actually John 16:33, 32, and 33. Very specific. Prophecy by Jesus Christ. You will experience tribulation. You will experience it. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. All of this is getting up to something we're going to be seeing. The reason I'm taking our time to look at all of this. But look at 1 Thessalonians, if you will. Chapter 1. And let's look at verse 6 together. You also became imitators of us and of our Lord, having received the word, okay, there it is, the gospel teaching in much tribulation. And how did you receive it? With the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a whole lot here. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, comes from the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to see is that this is how it's going to be through history of the church. They received the gospel with much tribulation from the world. Those of you who aren't able to make it to the study in 1 Corinthians Sunday morning, I think it's just the funniest thing in the world. It just jumps out at you. It shouts at you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, all that Paul can say about the Corinthians is all that God has done for them. There's no verse like this in 1 Corinthians. You've received the word, the gospel, in much tribulation of the joy of the Holy Spirit. They know how to be filled with the Spirit. They receive the gospel, receive the teaching of the word. All he can say in Corinthians, boy, y'all been given a lot by God. You haven't done anything with it, but you've been given a lot by God. You do not lack in any spiritual gift as an assembly. But everywhere else, it's not stated that way. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. So they've been afflicted. And this is an early church. Early church. Look at another one. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning of the church age. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Wavering, that's because of tribulation. That's not walking by faith, bearing the witness of Christ. For he who promised is faithful. Now look at verse 32. Jump down to verse 32 in chapter 10. But remember the former days, that's when you were an unbeliever, when after being enlightened with the gospel, you endured a great conflict of suffering. What's the idea here? Before, they weren't enduring this conflict of suffering. They heard the gospel, they responded, and pow, they got hit. Partly, verse 33, by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. They didn't back off from even those who were being maltreated because they were witnesses for Christ. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners. Now these are, I'm not talking against prison ministries, but these are in prison because of their witness for Christ. And accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Look how much we hold on to our property. Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession, and an abiding one. Got to know it, believe it, and then live it. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward in eternity, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, what is the will of God? Walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, persevering through tribulation, you may receive what is promised. And let's end this study tonight with Revelation 2. Revelation 2. My favorite church of all the churches of the seven churches. Revelation 2. Verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna, in Smyrna, write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, Jesus Christ, I know your tribulation. People, there's the key. Christ knows your tribulation. It may not seem like he does sometime. I'm sure. I don't know it for absolute, but I can just imagine somewhere along the line, Rick and Terry, what does the Lord even know what we're going through? Does the Lord even care? All this that's going on? He knows. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but boy, are you rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Now, if you're listening and following this, you remember, look at verse 9. I know your tribulation. Don't fear what you're about to suffer. Sir, just a moment. What I'm about to suffer? I'm suffering now. I'm going in tribulation now. What do you mean I'm about to? Enough is enough. No. What you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. So we know where the tribulation's directly from. We're told here, Satan. That you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful. There's the key. There's the key. Perseverance and faith until death. Now, just coming. Now you're talking about my death. This is really a good future here, God. Got a good future going. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, that is, overcome fainting, shall not be hurt by the second death. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we've had some wonderful studies for several years. Somehow we've avoided the study, tribulation, but we've not avoided tribulation. And now we come to the study of it. We come to the parting words of our Savior. You will have tribulation. You may have peace. Father, we desire to experience this peace in the midst of tribulation. And it's very easy, we know. Simply. By walking by the faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is peace. But that's the battle, isn't it, Father? To walk by faith, moment by moment. The flesh wants to go over to the flesh thinking. Battle is faith. Keeping our mind stayed on Thee. Trusting in You. Father, pray You'll take the things we've seen tonight. Let them settle down into our soul. find some good solid ground there to grow in, to take root in, that in the midst of tribulation, we may persevere. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.